They were glad everyone's here in spite of the weather. Kind of nasty out there. A lot of wind, a lot of water, and we need the rain, so we are joyful for that, but we'll endure. Well, this morning we begin looking at the lesson entitled Resolutions for Any Time and Any Year. And we look at Psalm chapter 119, where the psalmist said, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect to thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy words. So the psalmist, he resolved to think on the precepts of God, to respect the ways of God, to delight in God's statutes, and remember God's words. So that was, in essence, a firm commitment that he made. As we continue on, we see, and also we cited James chapter 4, verse 13, where James said, those who now ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into the city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do or live and do this or that. So as we go through our daily lives, this should be based on the context of, is it the Lord's will that we do what we do? In order to find, the term resolution, we see where it's a resolve or a determination to make a firm resolution to do something. And the act of resolving or determining upon an action or a course of action or a method or a procedure according to dictionary.com. So this morning we looked at a number of things that we can do, for success regarding resolution. And we mentioned a number of things, and I just want to review them quickly. The first thing that we mentioned was that we need to think through our resolution. Then we talked about how we need to have a hunger and thirst and a burning desire to achieve the resolutions that we make, lest we be distracted. Then we need to have a target, a realistic goal that we can be motivated by, knowing that we can succeed. It's not beyond our reach. Then there are tasks that we'll have to do or be a part of or accomplish to reach our goal. So we need to know what we need to do. We need to have a plan. We talked about the daily Bible reading, where you have a laid out plan for reading each day. Then we talked a little bit about timeline, where we need to take action and schedule our plan in our daily life. And I cited Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Then we suggested that we seek teamwork, or use that approach where we get help from others when needed and seek help and wise advice. I mentioned Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, where Solomon said, true wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Then I mentioned and suggested that we be committed to the Lord. Resolution requires commitment. We need to complete those. And so we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, where Paul said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. No need to succeed relying on the Lord, seeking his help. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Then we talked about triumph, where when we celebrate those small victories, those small accomplishments, they eventually become big ones, don't they? bigger cows. So, all jobs start out, we may have a big job, but we just keep pecking away at it, and we'll finally get it done. So we need to have that approach where we're not one to give up, but we continue on and endure until we complete the task that we've resolved to do. Then I suggest that we be a Christian come what may. And we need to know that in order to be saved, one must be a Christian, must be a faithful Christian. And Peter gives us encouragement where he talks about suffering. He said, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So will we be glad when the Lord comes to this earth? Will he receive us, and will we be in his presence is what we need to be thinking about. But tonight we're going to look at some other points in this area, and so we're going to talk about some resolutions to consider. We talked about suggestions about resolutions, but we want to look at some resolutions we should all consider. So these are all focused on the spiritual things that we need to be doing. First one is that we need to read our Bibles and study our Bibles daily, don't we? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing and handling aright the word of truth. How can we handle God's word rightly if we don't study it? How can we apply ourselves or apply it to our lives if we don't study? Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Notice he said, of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then, the next thing we need to do is attend every service possible and be on time. In Hebrews chapter 10, and we've emphasized this a number of times, but in Hebrews chapter 10, we see where the Hebrew writer said, beginning at verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then he said in verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains the more sacrifice for sin. So we need to attend every service possible. And when we do, we'll be benefited by that, and we'll encourage and provoke others that are present to love and good works. Then we need to be patient toward others. Resolve to be patient toward others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul said there, he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, you see where this is one of the works of the Spirit, he said, or the fruits of the Spirit, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's part of patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against us there is no law. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said, there with all lowliness, or the endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, or patience, suffering long, forbearing one another in love. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse or 5, verse 8, he said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you barren, or they make you, you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The long suffering, patience, temperance, or qualities that we are to be adding to our faith so that we will be ones who receive that crown that has been promised to us. Then we need to be ones who show by action that we love our neighbor. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said, honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we're to honor, we're to care for our parents as we have the opportunity and the duty to do so. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, we see that he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So our fellow man we're to love. And we're to strive to always help those that we have the opportunity to help. So we're to love God first, and love our neighbor, our fellow man, second. And where does our self come in that order? At the bottom, doesn't it? Then over in James chapter 2, James gave some instructions on this. In James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, James said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, then faith save him. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, give him those not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith, without thy works I'll show thee my faith by my works. So Paul, or Peter here, or James here, teaches us that we have to have a faith that's working, a faith that shows action, a faith that will help those that are in need. We can't just give it lip service, but we have to make constant effort to show by action our love for our fellow man and our brethren. Next, we need to pray for the sick and suffering. A resolution we always need to keep in mind. Also pray for our leaders. In James chapter 5, verse 15, James said, in the prayer of faith, so save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So when we pray for those that are in need, God usually answers those prayers if we pray fervently. In Isaiah chapter 38, verse 15, we see where Hezekiah was sick unto death, near unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee now, or how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David my father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I'll add in thy days 15 years. So Hezekiah's prayer was answered. He prayed fervently. Then we need to give God thanks more often. Getting ahead of myself. We need to give God thanks more often. And our prayer should be focused on thankfulness, I think, because we have much to be thankful for. The psalmist said in Psalms 105, verse 1, he said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his faith evermore. Remember his marvelous works he hath done, his wondrous and judgments of his mouth. So are we properly thanking God for all that he's done for us? The psalmist said in Psalms 118, verse 1, he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good because his mercy endureth forever. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gave thanks, and was thankful for the brethren there that were in Thessalonica. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brother beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So are we thankful for our brethren, are we thankful that we have those that are standing for the truth? Are we thankful for the preachers and teachers that put effort to teach us? Are we thankful to God for all the blessings we have received? We sing the song sometimes, count your many blessings. If we get down now, just start counting. We'll never get to the end. So many. We need to give God proper thanks and let our prayers and our appeals to God be focused on thankfulness. Then we need to be a better spouse. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, Paul talks about this. And so he said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So Paul likens, or compares, or parallels the husband-wife relationship with our relationship to Christ in the church. So we're to humble ourselves to him, and husbands and wives need to respect one another and respect their roles. We need to be better parents or grandparents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul said, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, for bring them up in the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord. We need to nurture our children in God's word. In Colossians 3, verse 21, he said a similar thing. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but lest they be discouraged. We need to encourage them and teach them the benefits of faithfulness to God. So when the husband and the wife properly respect one another, when they're submitting to one another as they should, are the children going to notice that? Will they notice it if they're not? They will, won't they? So by example, you know, husbands and wives need to be the proper example before your children and grandchildren and so on. In Proverbs 19, verse 18, Solomon said, chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare, for his friend. So we need to exercise proper discipline. So we need to always strive to train up the children that we are responsible for. And in Proverbs 22, verse 6, Solomon said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. In Proverbs 29, verse 17, he says, correct thy son, he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So, you know, as parents, when our children misbehave, it doesn't bring us any delight, does it? So we need to try to teach them in the proper respect by being respectful as parents one to another and presenting the proper example to them that we should present to them. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 6, the Hebrew writer said this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if we be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, yet then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So as Christians, we need to be submitting to God. And as parents need to submit to one another, and children need to submit to their parents. Next, we need to resolve to live at peace with everyone if possible. You ever known someone you just can't get along with? And we've all run into some people like that. But we need to go out of our way to live at peace with everyone. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. That suggests to me that some men just don't want to be peaceful. But we're to go out of our way to be peaceful to one another and to other people of the world. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul said, there, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify one with another. So, of prime importance, and in our own homes, we need to strive for peace, but especially so in the Lord's church, don't we? We need to endeavor to maintain the human spirit and the bond of peace, Paul. To go out of our way to be one, to do not bring in teaching and things that are actions that disrupt unity. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the Hebrew writer said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So our soul's salvation depends upon if we're trying to be peaceful or trying to make peace with all men. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 34, verse 14, he said, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. It's something that we have to work for, something we have to strive for, and something we have to seek and do. It just comes natural. Then we need to love our brethren. In 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and he testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. Then in verse 19, he said, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he is he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. We're to express, to show brotherly love. Now Paul outlined what love is and what love is not over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I call this Paul's love letter. Turn over to that. We'll just read a few verses of this chapter, but Paul talked about charity or love. Paul said, beginning at verse 1, he said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I've become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is coming from the gospel, and that which is in part can be done away. Paul ended that saying, I say, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. See, we need to be attending to our brethren's needs, both spiritually and physically. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we read this morning. Paul said, if any man or if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, sitting thyself, lest thou also be tempted, and we're to bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Then also in verse 10, he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. This is a personal mandate. It's not church action. You know, our brethren try to justify all the good deeds that they do by giving just to anybody of the world, and many will go to this passage right here. That's an individual action, not church action. He's talking to individual Christians there. We're to do good. The most good that we could do is teach someone the gospel. It has a spiritual context. So we need to always strive to do that. James said in James chapter 1, verse 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father of this. The visit of the fathers and the widows. This doesn't mean just to go over and visit and see how they're doing, but to care for them if they need to be cared for. To do whatever needs to be done for them. He said to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James said in James chapter 5, verse 14, he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Brethren, if any of you do err, he said, from the truth, and one convert him, let him that knoweth that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So both the physical needs and spiritual needs, we need to be attended to regarding our brethren. Then we need to seek the kingdom first, don't we? Not second, not third. First. Now, if we're committed to the Lord, we'll do that. If we're not, we won't. Jesus said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things should be added unto you. So when we realize that mammon can't save us, or the things in this world can't save us, and God knows what we need before we ask him. And when we seek the kingdom first, those things that we need in this life, they'll be provided to us somewhere. Doesn't mean they'll be just dumped in your lap, or you'll get a knock on the door and the groceries will arrive. No. But you'll be provided opportunities and blessings that will help you make it through life. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 33, says, so likewise, whosoever he that be of you that forsaketh not all he hath cannot be my disciple. Do we need to also resolve to count our blessings, not the mistakes of others? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Have you ever just thought and done a word study or a study on what blessing we have by being in Christ? We'll have a lesson on that here soon. But just what blessings are in Christ? Ever thought about that? Quite a few. You do a word search on your Bible study program, just search in Christ, you're going to get a lot of verses that come up. We need to count our blessings in Christ. We need to settle disputes with others. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 23, Jesus taught this when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore, if thy brother bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers thy brother hath aught against thee, He said, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. And first be reconciled thy brother. Amend those things that you're contrary with your brother about. And then come and offer thy gift. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out sinner, till all thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So we need to try to settle disputes as easily as possible, so they can affect our worship, our spirituality, can't they? We need to be kind and forgiving to all. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the reason we need to be forgiven, because we've been forgiven. So we need to be tender-hearted, kind one to another, speak words of kindness, tenderness to one another. Next, we need to resolve to be an asset to the local church and helper, not a liability. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, Paul previously had talked about how to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. But he said in verse 4, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having been gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation or proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation or without disguise. We're to be an asset, not a liability, to the Lord's cause. We're to teach, strive to resolve to teach someone the gospel, or invite them to services. How many times do we invite people to services? We're having a conversation. They're probably not going to feel very welcome if we don't, will they? They won't know they're welcome unless we welcome them. See, we're going to all the world. In Mark 16, 15, and 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and that tithe shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we're to strive to teach someone the gospel, or at least invite them to the worship services, or invite them to study the Bible, or see if they would like to have a correspondence, or give them a bulletin, do something to get them focused and turned in mind towards spiritual things. Then we should resolve to utter the word thank you to those that help you. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and we all have in some way an obligation to thank others, our own brethren, for things that they do for us. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, with which also you're called one body, and be thankful. This is how we ought to be, thankful. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, he said, and be kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Over in Luke chapter 17, we have a case of the 10 lepers. Turn with me to that. The 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 11, we'll start reading. In verse 11, the text says, then it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. That was the only condition they had, that Jesus imposed upon them, was was to go to the priest. He didn't promise them anything. He said, just go to the priest. After they had asked him to cleanse them, he said, go to the priest. And they were cleansed on the way. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? So are we of the 9 or the 1? You ever thought about that? Do we have a mindset of the 9 or the 1 that came back and gave him thanks? Then we need to live in such a way that we will be with Christ forever. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Turn to that with me. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. He said, for I am in the strait to twitch too, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And out of this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your presence and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. So Paul said that he was in the strait betwixt two. He desired to be with Christ, which is far better. So Paul knew that his faithfulness would be what would be required in order to be counted worthy. And so we see where over in chapter 3, verse 7, Paul said, what things were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, to count them but refuge that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not that I have mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is true, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul set aside anything that would be contrary, anything in this life that would be in conflict with God's word. Paul had every Jewish benefit. He benefited greatly, didn't he? But he gave it all up to be with Christ. He lived in such a way that he wanted to die and be with Christ, which he said which would be far better. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, let your seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Christ is our life shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So where are our affections set? Where are they set? Are they set on things of the earth? Or on things above? In conclusion, may we all resolve to be better servants of the Lord each day we live. And may God shed his richest blessings on those that serve him faithfully day by day. We're to serve him daily, aren't we? And I wish you that you'll have a happy and a faithful life in Christ from this day forward. Next, remember what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, and he resolve. So maybe we have that resolve that Solomon said, and we read this at the outset of our lesson both this morning and tonight. Is I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Is that our resolve? It should be, shouldn't it? We should have a resolve like that. So, are you resolved to serve God faithfully? Is my question to you, and as we close this study tonight. Remember, I don't think there's any here tonight who has not obeyed the gospel, but now those who sin, we need to ask for forgiveness. Aaron, children of God, must confess our sins, knowing that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we claim small and righteous. Then we must be like Paul, who fought the good fight, he finished the course, he kept the faith. Therefore, he said that he would receive that crown of righteousness that the Lord had promised to him, and also a promise to those that are faithful like Paul was. If you're in any way stuck to the Lord's invitation, we urge you to come together as we stand and sing again, I am exalted. So we stand all these things.